Yes.
Get better at what? Right? I think my mic's turned. Can you guys hear me out there? You can hear me out there? Perfect. Perfect. Get better at what, you may be wondering. Do you want to? You can't hear me. Well, I'm sorry. I think we're live. There we go. Is that better? A little bit. I'm going to take this off in just a moment once Tim hops off the stage here. Do you want to get better at anything? Okay? Pick something. Maybe it's something you're already good at. Maybe it's something you're not good at, but you want to improve in. Maybe it's something that you are required to do, like a job, or parenting, or being an adult. Do you want to get better? Now, let me add another level to this question. Is there somebody you look up to in whatever area you're wanting to get better at that you can strive to be more like? Okay, so three kind of questions today. Do you want to get better? What's one step you're taking to get better? And who do you look up to who's already doing that thing good? Those questions make sense? Okay, if you're watching online, welcome to our service. Go ahead and write your answers in the comment box. Elena will get them over to me. If you're here in person, I actually want you to turn to somebody. Stay 6 feet apart. So if it requires yelling, that's fine. But I'm going to give you 3 total minutes. Answer these questions. What's one thing you want to get better at? What's one step you're taking to get better at that? And who's one person that you look up to who's doing that thing well? Make sense? Ready, set, go. All right, I realize that's probably not the full 3 minutes, but we're going to give you a chance to share what you're going to share, you know, 1, 2, or 3 of you in just a little bit. Most of you know, I like to do triathlons. I like to do the long ones because in the short ones, I get so far behind in the swim, I can't catch up. So somebody I look up to today in that field is a guy named Andy Potts. He's one of the best American triathletes. And oftentimes I think to myself, if I could swim like Andy, if I could bike like Andy, and if I could run like Andy, I would do a lot better in my races. A lot better. My goal is always to be in the top half of my age group. If I could come anywhere close to that, that would be a huge improvement. So what am I doing to get better? Am I just following Andy on Facebook? Which I do. Hasn't made me any better yet, but I've been trying. For several years, early on in my racing, when I was early 30s, I would just train harder to get better. You know, run faster, farther, push the miles per hour pace, try and do more laps in the pool. And for a little bit, that worked. You know, when you're younger, and Coach Tommy over there is like, no, it doesn't work. We're going to get there. You're going to enjoy today. Okay? So it worked for a little bit at the beginning. My times improved a bit. But then, you know, mid to late 30s, life happened and health hiccups happened and just mid to late 30s happened. And I stopped improving. So I was like, what in the world am I supposed to do now? Well, I had to change the way I trained. And I didn't have this mantra back then, but if I did, maybe I would have said something like, when pushing for change, change the way you push. Got a nice ring to it. At least I think so. When pushing for change, change the way you push. So that's what I did. For a solid year, I changed the way I ate completely, like ate paleo. And wasn't a great year. I didn't eat brownies for a year. Oh, that was torture. Okay, we're going to keep going. I ate really, really well. And instead of pushing harder and faster and longer, I just started training in my heart rate, trying to keep my heart rate in a specific zone. And wouldn't you know, the 1 year that I did both of those things, my times dropped over an hour. Next year, I thought, let's try the opposite. Let's eat whatever I want. Train however, my times went back up. Anyways, I wanted to get better, took steps to achieve it, saw somebody that I liked doing it better, and, you know, in a sense, that year, I became a little bit more like Andy Potts, just a little. Okay, so what about you guys? What's one thing you want to get better at? I'll take, like, two people. One thing you want to get better at, one thing you're doing to improve, and one person you look up to who does that well. You guys need, like, a prime the pump? Okay, so Patty on... I got two people online that I'll share with you. Patty wants to get better at recognizing when discipline moments need to be teaching moments. That's really good. She wants to get better at falling back asleep when she wakes up in the middle of the night. And she wants to improve her hula hoop game. I like that. Nick wants to be better at reaching healthier goals. He's been working on smaller portion sizes, cutting out sugar, and his neighbor Crystal has been a huge inspiration. Jim wants to have more patience with people. He's using prayer, being mindful, seeking to apologize, and he looks up to his father-in-law. See, these are great examples. Anybody in house? Even just one? Okay, everybody online, thank you for wanting to improve. Everybody out here, grab your Bibles. There's room for all of us to improve. Okay, this is going to take kind of a turn, but bear with me. Free Methodists come from the holiness tradition. Now, if you didn't know, you attend a Free Methodist church. Don't let that scare you away. Okay, we're just one of many branches of churches that are seeking to follow Jesus in our everyday lives. So we have a holiness tradition in our history, and what that means, not going into too deep a theological diatribe, it means that we're working towards holiness. We're trying to, I don't want to say it like this, but trying to follow the rules, trying to live as God would be pleased with. And a lot of that has to do with our actions and our words. We know that Jesus is our Savior. We got no doubt about that. We know He saved us from our sins. We know it's a relationship with Him that makes us right with the Father. But out of response to that, out of response to His sacrifice, we try and sacrifice, and we live a life without purposeful sin. That's our goal, okay? We could say it something like this. As Christians here at this church, we want to do better at not sinning. We could probably say it like this. The goal of being better, of striving for better, would be to become more like Christ. I think of what the Apostle Paul wrote the church in Rome, in the middle of the letter that he wrote, Romans chapter 8, verse 29, says, "For God knew His people in advance, and He chose them to become like His Son, so that His Son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters." He chose them to become like His Son. If we're becoming more and more like Jesus, if we are becoming more and more Christ-like, I say we're doing better. But how do we do that? How do we accomplish this? Of course, the answer to this has many, many layers, many, many levels. We're only going to scratch the surface today. And since we're in a series on prayer, we're going to talk about how we might be able to improve in prayer by looking at something called a formation prayer. In fact, if you want something to write down or something to memorize, memorize this little phrase. When praying for change, and that change being, you know, becoming more like Christ, when praying for change, change the way you pray. When praying for change, change the way you pray. If you don't mind, let me pray, and then we'll continue. Father, would you open our eyes, ears, and hearts this morning? I think we each come in with things that are on our minds and our hearts. With things from this past week, with things that we're doing today, maybe with things we're looking at this coming week. But I pray that you would capture our hearts right now. Bring us to this present moment and help us, just help us be mindful to what you're doing and how you're moving this morning. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so today we are halfway through a 3-week sermon series on prayer titled Praying in 2021. Completely familiar, entirely different. Praying in 2021, completely familiar, entirely different. Last week, we talked about, anybody remember the prayer of rest? Thank you. Prayer of rest. And we looked at Matthew chapter 11, where Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke, is what we looked at. And initially, I thought, well, at the end of last week's sermon, I'm going to give you guys a couple of prayers and some practices, and that will help you live a life of better rest. But what we landed on was this yoke that Jesus is wanting to co-carry with us is the fact that he wants us to love like he loved us first. So this past week, I challenged you guys, first thing in the morning, ask God, God, is there somebody today that you want me to love like you loved first? And I hope you had a chance to do that. I know I did, and it was eye-opening this past week. Today, we look at something called the formation prayer. A formation prayer, don't be scared by that language. I know it can be a little daunting, but ultimately a formation prayer is a prayer we use to form a person, to shape them, to change them. We could say to get better, all right? Going back to that question I asked at the beginning, better at what? Better at becoming more and more like Christ. Now, if we want this to happen, we have to ask the question, how? And I realized yesterday in preparing this past week, you know, and this morning, that this sermon is mainly for me. So if you guys get anything out of it, great. But realistically, I'm preaching for me this morning. All right? When praying for change, change the way you pray. And how do you grow in that? Well, I look at my failures first. It used to be that I would pray, God, make me better. God, make me more like Jesus. And I'd look at certain passages that connected with me, like Philippians 2, verse 12. Dear friends, you've always followed my instructions when I was with you, and now that I'm away, it's even more important, work hard to show the results of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear. I can wrap my mind around that. Work hard. Philippians 3, 12 to 14. I don't mean to say that I've already achieved these things or that I've already reached perfection, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. Okay, these are race analogies, training analogies. They connect with me. One more. We've got 1 Timothy chapter 4. Instead, train yourself to be godly. Physical training is good, but training for godliness is much better, promising benefits in this life and in the life to come. Okay, so these verses, they resonate with me. They speak of training, they speak of racing, they speak of finishing well. And, you know, for years and years, I would pray, God, make me better. And then I'd read passages like these, and then I just wouldn't improve in whatever I was working at. And it can be disheartening if, when I go back and I read my journals from 10 years ago, 7 years ago, right, 3 years ago, and I look and I see I'm struggling with the same things that I was a decade ago. Why is that? And, you know, in a little sense, I feel a little bit like the Apostle Paul. I love how he does this in Romans chapter 7. Verse 15, verse 15, he says, I don't really understand myself, for I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. Verse 19, I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyways. Sounds like me. Verse 21, I've discovered this principle of life, that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. It's a great picture there of somebody tripping and falling over a rose, right? Kind of ironic. There's something beautiful, but they're falling over it. Something beautiful to pursue Christ, to try and become Christ-like, and yet in our attempts, we continue to struggle. And my prayer had always been, God, make me more like Jesus. Conform me to be more like him. I don't think that's a bad prayer. And could God do that? Just instantaneously make me more like Jesus? Yup. Has he? Nope. Not yet. Maybe little bits. But I think he needed to teach me a different prayer. When praying for change, change the way you pray. Here's the funny thing. I've been praying a prayer. Actually, we prayed it together for about 8 years. And this last week, after 8 years of praying this prayer, I finally realized this is a formation prayer. This is a prayer that I need to be able to change. All right, it was a Trinitarian prayer. We prayed some things to the Father, to the Son, to the Holy Spirit. It was like 20 minutes ago, so I know it was a long time. The second half of the prayer, we had some space in the middle for some prayer on our own. And then the second half, the first line said, Heavenly Father, I pray that I might live this day in your presence and please you more and more. All right, that wasn't the line I was thinking of. Next line was, Lord Jesus, I pray this day I might take up my cross and follow you. Again, a good prayer, but not the line I was thinking of. This is the line that jumped out at me. Holy Spirit, I pray that this day you will fill me with yourself and cause your fruit to ripen in my life. Cause your fruit to ripen in my life. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. This, for me, is a prayer of change. This is a formation prayer. It's a prayer I need to learn how to pray in order to change, to become more and more like Christ. And here's why. Tommy would agree with this. Whenever there's an athlete who's trying to get better, or whenever there's a musician who's trying to get better, or whenever there's a surgeon who's trying to get better, they put purposeful effort into measurable, tangible goals. Make sense? They set small steps that they can know whether or not they are achieving them. If you're a piano player, you play scales over and over and over again. If you're a surgeon, you practice on mannequins or in the lab before actually doing surgery on a live person. If you're a swimmer, you work on your stroke, keeping your elbow up and your pull down. You go stroke after stroke, lap after lap. These are small, measurable tasks that lead to someone getting better. Now, for me, I realized I need those small, measurable tasks that I can look at and say, oh, I'm improving there. So instead of just, God, help me be more like Jesus, which is not a bad prayer, but it's so big, my prayer has become, especially in this last week, cause your fruit to ripen within me. Cause your fruit to ripen within me, because we have a list of what that fruit looks like. Love, joy, you can say it with me, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. This is inviting me, it's inviting us into something specific, something measurable. But if you read the text from which it came from, it won't take you long to realize this really isn't about me. And it really isn't about you and the effort you're putting into it. It's not about what you do, it's about who is doing what in you. Okay? The Apostle Paul was writing to the church in Galatia. He's focusing on the Holy Spirit and his work in our lives, and he writes this. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. Now, what a contrast to Romans chapter 7. Right? Let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. The Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you are not free to carry out your own good intentions. But when you are directed by the Spirit, then you're no longer under obligation of the law. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, Paul says, as I have before, that anyone living this sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to the cross and have crucified them there. In verse 25, since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. I mean, you can't miss the Holy Spirit focus in this passage. So the Holy Spirit guides your lives. The Holy Spirit gives us desires. You're directed by the Spirit. When the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives, and then verse 25, since we're living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. And I run the risk of overusing a sports analogy, but I kind of hear Paul saying there's a coach, the Holy Spirit, who is giving you skills and drills to work on so that you can become better at becoming more like Jesus. And those skills and drills have to deal with the fruit of the Spirit. The prayer is, God or Holy Spirit, I pray this day you will fill me with yourself and cause your fruit to ripen in my life. You're inviting the coach, the teacher, the instructor right there with you, and then saying, okay, give me some things to work on. And sometimes that can be scary as people. It can be a risky prayer to say, all right, cause your fruit to ripen in my life, because all of a sudden, you know what? If you're not great at being patient, it's going to give you opportunities to be patient. You're not good at being kind. If you're saying, coach, Holy Spirit, give me opportunities to grow in this, it's going to give you an opportunity to be kind. So these aren't always fun opportunities, but there's a difference in God, make me more like Jesus. Wave your magic wand and make it happen overnight versus Spirit of God, fill me and cause your fruit to ripen in my life through opportunities with you. So this week, like I said, the sermon's for me. Instead of praying, God, help me become more like Jesus, I've been praying, God, cause your fruit, Holy Spirit, cause your fruit to ripen in my life. You guys want to get better? Answer is yes. Okay, do you have someone to look up to? The answer is yes, it's Jesus. How will you get there? Well, I would argue that today in this week, it would be saying, Spirit of God, cause your fruit to ripen in our lives. In just a moment, we're going to sing a song titled From the Inside Out. And the overarching idea behind that song is that our prayer is, God, you got to change us from in here. We can't do that, but you have to change us from in here, and it'll be evident out there. I want to invite Tim to come on up, and he's going to strum a bit. And what I would like us to do, we've kind of mentioned staying in this spirit of worship, you know, with this prayer earlier. What I would like us to do is this. I want us to do something that I'd encourage you to do during this week. Start the day by saying, Spirit of God, cause your fruit to ripen in me. And then grab your Bible, turn to Galatians 5, 22 and 23, and look at those fruits of the Spirit. And then whichever one jumps out, maybe you can even say, Spirit of God, which one do you want me to work on today? Then let that be your prayer and look for opportunities to do that during the day. So what we're going to do now is, Christy, I think we have a list of those fruits of the Spirit, right? There we go, up on the screen. I want to just move into a time of prayer again. And Tim's going to play quietly in the background. And what I would start with is just us saying, Spirit of God, cause your fruit to ripen in me. Okay, why don't you say that with me? Spirit of God, cause your fruit to ripen within me. Again, Spirit of God, cause your fruit to ripen within me. One more time. Spirit of God, cause your fruit to ripen within me. Now that our hearts are ready, you take a look at that list up there. We're not going to have you pray out loud, but prayerfully look at it. And when you sense God saying, this is the fruit I want you to work on today, thank Him for that. Perhaps you pray something like this. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, give me an opportunity today to work on love. Cause this fruit to ripen in my life. In doing so, I trust that I'll be taking steps to be more and more like your Son. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, give me an opportunity today to work on joy. cause this fruit to ripen in my life? And in doing so, I trust that I'll be taking steps to be closer to being like Christ. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, give me an opportunity today to work on peace. Cause this fruit to ripen in my life. And in doing so, I trust that you'll be helping me take steps to be more like your Son. Spirit of God, give me an opportunity today to work on patience. Cause this fruit to ripen in my life. In doing so, I trust that you will be making me more and more like Jesus. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, give me an opportunity today to work on kindness. Cause this fruit to ripen in my life. And in doing so, may I become more like Jesus. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, give me an opportunity today to work on goodness. Give me chances for that to take place. Cause this fruit to ripen in my life. And in doing so, I trust that you will be making me more like your Son. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, give me an opportunity today to work on faithfulness. Faithfulness to you, faithfulness to your people. Cause this fruit to ripen in my life. And in doing so, I trust that you will be conforming me into the image of your Son. Son and Holy Spirit, give me an opportunity today to work on gentleness. Cause this fruit to ripen in my life. In doing so, I trust that you will be shaping me, growing me, making me better, and looking more like your Son. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, give me an opportunity today to work on self-control. Cause this fruit to ripen in my life. And in doing so, draw me closer to your Son. So each day this week, I would encourage you guys, start with the prayer, cause your fruit to ripen in my life, and then look at these fruits of the Spirit, and you don't have to work on all of them all at once, but ask the Spirit of God to bring one to the top, to show you which one He wants you to work on that day. Perhaps it's the entire week. And I bet if you ask Him, He'll give you opportunities to work on it. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we come before you, recognizing that each of us has room to grow. We each have room to get better. We know, Lord Jesus, that our actions don't determine whether or not you see us as forgiven. Jesus' action has already done that. But we also know that you have chosen us to become more like your Son. We can't do that on our own. I can't do that on my own. I need the Spirit of God's help. So I do pray, Lord, that today you would fill me and you would cause your fruit to ripen in my life. I pray you would fill those sitting in here, those that are watching, participating in our online congregation. I pray that they would be filled also with your presence and that your fruit would ripen in their lives. Jesus, ultimately, we are asking that you would change us from the inside out. that it would be visible on the outside, not for our own glory, but so that you will be brought glory and so that others will see changed lives that point to Jesus. That is the ultimate fruit, being able to introduce other people to you. Help our lives to be lived in ways that we won't be a detriment to the work you're already doing in their lives. Change us, Lord, from the inside out. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.